News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. Though the imposition of president's rule in Maharashtra on Tuesday took all political parties by surprise, hectic politicking continued among various contenders to cobble up a viable government to the satisfaction of Governor B.S. Koshyari. Ranked among the most politically stable, this is only the third time Maharashtra has come under central rule in its 59-year-old history. Previously, the state witnessed spells of president's rule for 112 days in February to June 1980, followed by 33 days in September-October 2014. The latest president's rule may have given a breather to the third largest political party after the October 21 assembly elections, the Nationalist Congress Party, to finalize a mutually acceptable understanding with the Congress and also probably the Shiv Sena. After the tenure of the previous assembly ended on November 9, Governor Koshyari moved into high gear for the government formation process by inviting the single largest party, the Bharatiya Janata Party. However, on Sunday, the BJP, which has 105 members, expressed its inability to form the government as it could not muster the requisite number of a simple majority of 145 in the 288-member house. On Sunday, the governor invited the Shiv Sena, which lost the race as it could not produce letters of support from the Congress and NCP, which had already given their in-principle approval to a Sena-led government. Koshyari also rejected the Sena request for a 2 to 3 day extra time to prove its support, and the party's delegation left Raj Bhavan empty-handed on Monday evening. Late on Monday, the NCP was called and given time till 8:30 p.m. on Tuesday to indicate if it could form the government. But on Tuesday morning, the party sought 3 days' time to prove its majority, which was declined, said a party leader. Within hours, the governor submitted a report to the centre invoking Article 356 of the Constitution, recommending president's rule, which was approved by the Union Cabinet and later got the assent of President Ramnath Kovind. The move was sharply criticised by the Congress and Maharashtra Navnirman Sena's Raj Thackeray, while the Sena has moved the Supreme Court, challenging why it was not granted an extension of time to prove its majority. Legal experts point out that since the newly elected legislators have not been sworn in by a pro tem speaker to be appointed by the governor, there is no legislature in existence, so there is no question of putting it under suspended animation for the period of president's rule. Since the house has not been constituted, how can any other measures take effect? Things will move forward only after any party or group is able to prove its majority before the governor and convince that they can form a government, one expert pointed out. And the Supreme Court will today pronounce its verdict on petitions challenging the Delhi High Court decision bringing the office of the Chief Justice of India under the ambit of the Right to Information Act. A 5-judge constitution bench headed by Chief Justice Ranjan Gogoi will pronounce the judgment at 2 p.m. Other members of the bench are Justices N.V. Ramana, D.Y. Chandrachur, Deepak Gupta and Sanjeev Khanna. The notice regarding the pronouncement of the judgment was made public on the Apex Court's official website on Tuesday afternoon. The court will also give its verdict in two important cases, disqualification of 17 Karnataka MLAs and the constitutional validity of the Finance Act 2017. A 5-judge constitution bench had on April 4 reserved its verdict on the appeals filed in 2010 by the Supreme Court Secretary-General and its Central Public Information Officer against the High Court and the Central Information Commission's orders. The bench, headed by the Chief Justice, had wrapped up the hearing, saying nobody wants a system of opaqueness, but the judiciary cannot be destroyed in the name of transparency. Nobody wants to remain in the state of darkness or keep anybody in the state of darkness, it had said. The question is drawing a line. In the name of transparency, you can't destroy the institution. In a landmark verdict on January 10, 2010, the Delhi High Court had held that the office of the Chief Justice of India comes within the ambit of the Right to Information Law, saying judicial independence was not a judge's privilege but a responsibility cast upon him. The 88-page judgment was then seen as a personal setback to the then CJI, K.G. Balakrishnan, who has been opposed to disclosure of information relating to judges under the RTI Act. The High Court verdict was delivered by a 3-judge bench comprising Chief Justice A.P. Shah, who since retired, and Justices Vikramjit Sen and S. Muralidhar. The bench had dismissed a plea of the Supreme Court that contended bringing the CJI's office within the RTI Act would hamper judicial independence. Justice Sen retired as the judge of the Apex Court, while Justice Muralidhar is a sitting judge of the High Court. The move to bring the office of the CJI under the transparency law was initiated by RTI activist S.C. Agrawal. His lawyer Prashant Bhushan had submitted in the top court that though the Apex Court should not have been judging its own cause, it is hearing the appeals due to doctrine of necessity. The lawyer had described the reluctance of the judiciary in parting with information under the Right to Information Act as unfortunate and disturbing, asking, "Do judges inhabit a different universe?" He had submitted that the Apex Court has always stood for transparency in functioning of other organs of the state, but it develops a cold feet when its own issues require attention. The BRICS summit will focus on strengthening ties among the world's five major economies in key areas such as digital economy, science and technology, and also build mechanisms for counter-terrorism cooperation, Prime Minister Narendra Modi said on Tuesday as he left for Brazil to attend the event. Modi, who left for Brazil in the afternoon, will be in the country today and tomorrow to attend the 11th BRICS summit. The Prime Minister said he will also meet Brazilian President Jair Bolsonaro to discuss ways to enhance the bilateral strategic partnership. "I look forward to exchanging views with other BRICS leaders with the aim to further strengthen intra-BRICS cooperation, particularly on the theme of the summit, Economic Growth for an Innovative Future," Modi said in his departure statement. During the summit, the five major economies of the world will aim to significantly strengthen their cooperation in science, technology and innovation, he said. The BRICS countries will also look to enhance cooperation on digital economy and build mechanisms for counter-terrorism cooperation within the BRICS framework, Modi said. "Our business and industry play an important role in intra-BRICS ties. I will be addressing BRICS Business Forum and interacting with BRICS Business Council and New Development Bank," he said. On the bilateral meeting with the Brazilian president, he said Brazil and India share close and ever-expanding bilateral relations, including in the spheres of defense, security, trade, agriculture, energy, and space. The Prime Minister is scheduled to hold separate bilateral meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese Premier Xi Jinping. He would also attend the BRICS Business Forum closing ceremony and the closed and plenary sessions of the 11th BRICS Summit. In the closed session, the discussions are expected to be focused on challenges and opportunities for the exercise of national sovereignty in the contemporary world. This will be followed by the BRICS plenary session, where the leaders will discuss the intra-BRICS cooperation for the economic development of BRICS societies. A BRICS Memorandum of Understanding between trade and investment promotion agencies is also expected to be signed. And police fired tear gas at pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong's Central Financial District and at demonstrators on the other side of the harbour on Tuesday, as a senior officer said the unrest had brought the city to the brink of total breakdown. The clashes took place a day after police shot a protester at close range and a man was doused with petrol and set on fire in some of the worst violence in the Chinese-ruled city in decades. More than 1,000 protesters, many wearing office clothes and face masks, rallied in Central for a second day during lunch hour, blocking roads below some of the city's biggest buildings and most expensive real estate. After they had dispersed, police fired tear gas at the remaining protesters on Old Narrow Pedder Street. Police made more than a dozen arrests, many pinned up on the pavement against the wall of luxury jeweler Tiffany & Company. Police said masked rioters had committed insane acts, throwing trash, bicycles and other debris onto metro tracks and overhead power lines, paralyzing transport in the former British colony. TV footage showed activists dropping heavy objects from overpasses onto traffic below, just missing a motorcyclist. "Our society has been pushed to the brink of a total breakdown," Senior Superintendent Kong Wing Chung told a briefing referring to the last 2 days of violence. The demonstrators have been protesting since June against what they believe to be meddling by Beijing in the freedoms guaranteed under the One Country, Two Systems formula put in place when the territory returned to China from British rule in 1997. Tough police tactics in response to the unrest have also fueled anger. China denies interfering and has blamed Western countries, including Britain and the United States, for stirring up trouble. As well as the protests in Central, the heart of the Asian financial hub on Hong Kong Island, clashes also erupted in several places on the mainland. Police fired tear gas at City University in Kowloon Tong and at Chinese University in the New Territories, where protesters threw petrol bombs and bricks at police. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter daybreak@news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.